Welcome back to Mishnah Yomi. Today we're continuing to learn Masechtas Yevamos Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, and Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Gimel is actually moving us away from Yibam for a minute, but it's playing off the previous Mishnah. In our previous Mishnah, we discussed that let's say Reuven marries his niece. He marries Shimon's daughter, and then he also marries another woman named, we'll call her Miriam. So Shimon is therefore can't do Yibam, certainly with his daughter, he can't marry his daughter, and he can't either do Yibam with the Tzrara, with the co-wife of his daughter. It's all prohibited. However, what do you give a case, which is our Mishnah here, where the co-wife would be prohibited to the brother? Meaning to say you have a relationship where you have a woman who's prohibited to marry any of the brothers. In that case, so if that woman goes and marries, it becomes a co-wife to another woman, the other woman is not prohibited to the original person who the first person would have been an erva to. That was very ambiguous, but we'll see the case and it will become clarified hopefully very quickly. Sheish Arayas, there are six chamuros be'elu. There are six cases of erva that are more stringent than these 15 women mentioned in Mishnah 1. And because of that, it ends up with a leniency that their co-wives will become permitted to the brother. What is that? Imo. Let's say a man's mother who's not married to his father. A man is born out of wedlock. His mother, we'll call her Miriam. She then goes ahead and she marries Reuven. And Reuven also marries Ahuva. So Ahuva, and in the event that Reuven dies, Ahuva is now permitted to this man. Why? Because the stringency of the erva was so strong, we don't say that it's prohibited. Moreover, the ages of it. Again, cases as follows. Let's use names. Yaakov has a stepmother named Dina. Of course, he can't marry Dina. Dina, then, in her second marriage, marries Yechiel. And Yechiel is also married to Rachel. Yaakov is allowed to marry Rachel in the event that the first marriage doesn't work out. We don't say that because she's a co-wife, if someone is an erva to him, she's prohibited. But because the erva is so extreme, so stringent, we actually give this leniency. V'achos Aviv, his father's sister. Achos mi Aviv, his half sister from his father's side. Ve'eshes achi Aviv, his father's brother's former wife. Ve'eshes achi mi Aviv, and the former wife of his half brother from his father's side. In all these cases, if the marriage ended and there was not a situation of yibum, if there was a tzara, a co-wife, they can marry this person. Okay, I lied to all of you. Now, I didn't lie to you intentionally, but it happens to be that this that we say a co-wife is prohibited is not really so clear. Yes, and this is actually a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai over Matir Natsaros Achim. A co-wife of an erva is permitted to the brother. So again, the case would be Reuven marries Shimon's daughter. So and then Reuven dies. Shimon's not allowed to marry his daughter, obviously. But we also learn he's not allowed to marry the Reuven's second wife because she's a co-wife to an erva. Beis Shammai says, that's not true. He actually could marry the second wife. So Reuven is married to the daughter of Shimon. Her name is Dina. And he's also married to Miriam. So, Shimon's allowed to marry Miriam. Of course, he can't marry Dina. He can marry Miriam. We still learned the way we always learned and said, no, both co-wives are usher. What are some nafkamina, some ramifications of this? Chaltzu, if one of the co-wives performs chalitza with the living brother, Beis Shammai says, this is a meaningful chalitza. And thus, he's disqualified from marrying a Kohen. A Kohen's not allowed to marry a Chalitz, someone who did Chalitza. He still said, no, if Shimon goes ahead and does Chalitza with Miriam, again, who's not his daughter, who's his daughter's co-wife, the Chalitza is meaningless. He didn't have to do it, and therefore, she's still eligible to marry a Kohen. Next, this Yaivu, what if they do Yibum? Bishamachshir says that she's eligible to marry a Kohen subsequent to this marriage, assuming that the person dies. Basil says no, because a woman who has a forbidden relations with a man is considered a zona and therefore forbidden from marrying a Kohen. Again, very good. Now you would think what ends up merges from here is you're gonna have these big machlokas in Kalal Yisrael where Basil's not gonna want to have his daughters marrying Beis Shammai, especially if they're Kohanim. Or one of his sons marrying Beis Shammai's daughters, especially if they're Kohanim, because Beis Shammai is basically permitting, in some cases, or vice versa, a Kohen to marry a Chalot or not. Even though Beis Hillel forbade and Beis Shammai permitted it, and therefore one side of the dispute would disqualify the other, or vice versa. Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying the woman of Beis Hillel, v'lo Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, and they didn't refrain from either. Meaning to say, I assume there was a certain, they had transparency, and they talked about what would be allowed, what wouldn't be allowed. No one tried to trick each other. Similarly, kol ha-tahoros ha-tamei shehayu eilu mitaharin ve'eilu mitamein. Similarly, if you had a case where there's a dispute, if something is tamei or tahar, lo nimnu osin taharos eilu al gabei eilu. They did not refrain from preparing tahar foods on the utensils of the other, because there'd be transparency. They'd explain exactly what transpired, so that they can keep their respective opinions. I wish you all a wonderful day.